Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When things are going great, many of us feel no real need for God. But when troubles come and our prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling, we come face to face with God, who wants us to find our refuge in Him, not in those around us. Please stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on how to adore God, we're applying the lessons Jesus taught to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Now, how we need to look at unanswered prayer.
The reason He doesn't answer our prayers is He wants us to keep coming back. And He wants us to realize that more than an answer to our prayer, we need Him even more than our answers. That's the whole point. Disappointments in life. It's God seeking. God is saying, I want you to no longer be able to depend upon those people and depend upon things, so that He keeps cutting out from under us all the props, so that finally we are left alone with Him and we cry up with Asaph and say, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee, and there is none upon the earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. I've got nothing left but God." The trials of life, God-seeking worshipers. He gives Job's 10 children. 10 children are dead, boom, in a windstorm. 10 fresh graves on the hilltop. What did Job do? He bowed low and he worshiped and said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's how God does His seeking. And God desires that this be the centrifugal force of our life. And Jeremiah, you remember, says, "My people have done two evils. Number one, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living water." That's the first thing they do, but they never stop there. He says they've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns, he says, that can hold no water. And so what they're doing is they're seeking water somewhere else. You and I have to seek water. That's true physically, it's also true spiritually. You're going to find it somewhere, but all of the watering holes of the world are empty or foul. But you and I don't believe that, do we? We keep hanging on and saying, "I have to find it here, I have to find it there, somewhere, someplace." And God keeps saying, "Here I am." Nancy Spiegelberg wrote, "Lord, I crawled across the barrenness to You with my empty cup, uncertain in asking a drop of refreshment. But if I had known You better, I'd have come running with a bucket." My wife used to say what my mother used to say too, is that sometimes when you eat between meals, you spoil your appetite. You know that is true. If I drink a milkshake, I don't have to eat for a day and a half. My appetite is just gone. Here's what happens. We cram our lives with so many different things. And if we have a little bit of room, we add something else to it, totally cramming our lives. And we get enough of these things to be able to make it by in life. And in the process, we bypass God. We bypass the Father who's seeking worshipers. Let me conclude with some observations. Worship, my friend, is at the heart of all ministry. Do we believe that? Worship is at the heart of all ministry. I think of what Pastor Wiersbe said in his book on worship. He's talking about all the things that we do except worship. And then he says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail to tell me of Sunday school contests, bus ministries, youth rallies, discipleship programs, church growth seminars, liturgical renewal movements, ecumenical programs, denominational promotions, all of which promise new life for me and my congregation. But they didn't do the job because they were cut flowers that had no roots. They had been divorced from worship and therefore they could not produce fruit." This explains, he says, why success in these ventures often creates more problems than it solves. For the emphasis in our successes, he says, is often on men's techniques and achievements, not on God's power and God's glory. It's the heart of ministry. We minister because we love God and because we worship. It's the heart of the purpose of life. Look at, here's a woman who blew it in terms of her marriages. 5 marriages, now living with a man, unmarried. Would you say that she failed in her marital relationships? Even by today's standards, that's failure. And Jesus says, why don't you become a worshiper? Many years ago, more than 25 years ago, I wrote a book entitled Failure, the Back Door to Success. And remarkably, it is still in print. I like to say the reason is because it sells so well at Moody Bible Institute during exam time. But you know why I wrote that book? I was sitting in a seminary classroom many, many years ago, and I overheard a professor say one statement, and that captivated me. It is simply this, that success as we generally think of it is not open to everyone. Not everybody can be successful in getting money. Not everybody can be successful in their job. Maybe not even everybody can be successful in their marriages. Success, as we generally think of it, is not an option to many people. But fellowship with God is. You can delight the heart of God by being a worshiper, no matter what your past is. You can learn to adore God, and in adoring God, you can fulfill the delight of the Father who seeks for worshipers. And if he does not find them in high class society, he'll go to the lower classes and find those who know the beauty of forgiveness, and he will find their people who delight him because the centrifugal force of their life is worship. Let me give you a final observation. It's the basis of ministry. It's the basis of purpose. And by the way, speaking of purpose, you know, of course, that in heaven will not need any preachers. But heaven is going to need worship leaders, because in heaven we're going to continue to do what we have done here on earth, namely worship God. And God says, I want you to begin right now. Let me give you a final thing, and that is, it's the heart of evangelism. It's the heart of evangelism. You know, it's interesting, this woman, if we had time to read the rest of the story, did you know that she leaves her water pot and goes back into the city and tells everybody whom she met? She says, is he not the Christ? It says in verse 28, leaving her water jar. All kinds of people have said, why did she leave her water jar? Why didn't she take some water with her? Well, maybe it's because of the enthusiasm at the moment. I like to think of this. Maybe there's even more here. Maybe it's this. Now that she has learned the refreshment of living water, it almost seemed as if physical water was no longer necessary. She says, now that I've met the water of life who has come to fill my soul and given me within a spring of water that gushes up into eternal life, she was so excited about that she forgot that she even needed the other water to live. At any rate, she runs and she tells everybody about this. And it says in verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, who said, he told me everything I ever did. And she became an evangelist to lead others to Christ, and Jesus stayed there. And isn't it wonderful that she learned to worship, she learned about forgiveness and a bit of worship, and she became an evangelist. John Piper is right when he says that the real goal of missions is not even to see people saved as such. The real goal of missions, he says, is evangelism, or rather, the real goal of evangelism and missions, he says, is worship. Why? Because we value God so much, we want more tongues to give him praise. And that's why we go to the far ends of the earth. It is for the glory of Jesus. It is that more people in more cultures, in more situations, will be able to praise his name. And that's our motivation. You say, well, how do we learn to worship? I hope to deal with that more specifically in the next message, except to say this, that even the how is less important than the more fundamental question of heart and truth and priority. It's in his presence that somehow all of life is rearranged and begins to make sense. You say, Pastor Luther, I've failed greatly. There's not much of my life left. I've walked far from God. Would you join this woman in becoming a worshiper? Adoring God and delighting his heart. Let's pray. Father, we do say in sincerity, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Father, we've thirsted for many things. Make Moody Church thirsty for God, like that deer panting after the water brooks. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, make this a sanctuary in which we adore you and everyone around us know that we adore you. Make us an adoring people. Help us, Lord, because we are so needy and we confess our sins, which are so many, that stand in the way of complete, focused adoration. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Pastor Lutzer. Let me give you a suggestion that could be life-changing. Before you get out of bed in the morning, pray like I frequently do, O God, glorify yourself in my life at my expense. And then frequently after that, I quote the verse of Scripture, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I know a couple that suffered the death of their children, some of their children, and even in the midst of such unbelievable sorrow, that is still the verse of Scripture that came to their mind. Perhaps I'm speaking to people and you've gone through a very nasty divorce, or your children are not walking with God, or there has been some health issue, some trial, some great difficulty in which you cannot see God. At that time, quote the words, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Can you imagine how precious that kind of worship is to God? When you look around and you see no reason to worship, but nonetheless you worship because he is God and you aren't, God looks down, and with such worshipers, he is well pleased.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up the first of two messages on how to adore God. Worship is not what we sing or say. It involves what we bring to God. Next time, all about the sacrifices of worship. This brief series on worshiping God can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about how to adore God. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.